So today's reading is Psalm 126, page 623, for anybody who wants to read along. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. This is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6 and verse 25. In the Church Bible, page 971, 971. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Not just me saying to you, cheer up. This is the eternal Son of God speaking to us all. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we wear, or what shall we drink? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need those. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm trying to get all my notes together. Was anybody with us a few weeks ago at the Whitfield Well Dressing? I think I've got a picture here of the well dressing. Anybody come to the well dressing? That was great, wasn't it? So many different people turned up. I got to stand on a mound, yeah, and pray a blessing over people. Actually shout a blessing, and my voice was a little bit sore afterwards because I wasn't quite used to not having a mic. It was wonderful. But you know, on the weeks up, I thought, what the heck is this? Yeah, this well-dressing, blessing thing. It's a very Derbyshire thing, you know that, don't you? Yeah, I had no idea what it was about. I asked some mates, and like a few of them went, what? And then I emailed round other curates saying, oh, you know, have you done one of these? Yeah, has anybody got any ideas what I'm meant to do? Yeah, and people came back with different suggestions. When I stood up there, I'd read a little bit about well blessings and dressings, and we bless the well because we thank God that we've got this water. And we ignore the kind of pagan overtones, but don't worry about that too much. Yeah, but we thank God that he's given us water, and that the Whitfield well was particularly there, and there was a law down that you're allowed to feed your sheep, water your sheep there. So I did ask, if anybody has sheep, they're welcome to bring them to the front now, yeah, and just water your sheep now. And there wasn't many sheep, strangely enough. You know, it's funny, we've become disconnected a little bit, haven't we? with harvest. I was talking to another vicar this week on a conference that I went to who is in a rural parish. And when he says rural, he had a rural specialist came to show him round the area. And as they were driving round his seven parishes in rural Herefordshire, the rural specialist commented, "Actually, this is really rural, isn't it?" Yeah, he'd definitely gone seven parishes and 2,500 people over seven parishes. Yeah, and a massive, massive area. There's lots of sheep, yeah, and cows and fields. He turned up to one of the events that they'd got organised at one of the churches, thinking it was just a little thank you event around harvest. And there was 250 people there. And he felt bad because he was still in his shorts and his gardening stuff. He'd been out with his kids the day. The 10% of the entire population of his parish in one place at one time. Thankful for what God has done. And in harvest, as we come to a time of thankfulness. Thankfulness for the provision that we have. And praying for the goodness of God going forward. We are maybe a little bit disconnected, and I want us to be reconnected with that. What, as Kate said, those things that you are thankful for, I'm particularly thankful to Kate because I went to her and Martin's house last night, and she'd done dinner with two desserts. Come on. And they were both great as well. Obviously, I was only polite enough to try both of them. Yeah, that was wonderful. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for friends. You will be. I'm thankful for this building and this place and the people that put time, energy and effort into it. I'm thankful for the people in this church that joined, because I've just passed my first year here at Whitfield. I'm thankful for so many people in this church that give their time, their energy, their effort, their finance to build this church here, because they love Jesus and they want to see Jesus known to more and more people. That is a beautiful thing. And the vicar's saying, thank you. Thank you. That's really special. This is a special place of thankfulness. And as I was reflecting upon this, there's sometimes when we talk about the gospel, we got into a discussion this week with other vicar people, yeah, when I was away, what is the gospel? And sometimes when you speak to people around that have never been to church, when they kind of hear that word, the gospel or the good news, and for whatever reason, sometimes maybe it's the way it's been said or the way it's been heard, people hear the gospel is, you're a sinner who needs to be saved. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. But the gospel doesn't start with sin. It doesn't start with condemnation. It starts with God's love. Yeah, and we reminded each other, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The good news of Jesus Christ starts with his love and his grace and his welcome. That's the good news that we have. So when we come to this passage, it's a passage contained within the Sermon on the Mount, this big, long passage that Jesus preaches of who he is and what he's about, his message. And as I was reflecting on it, as I tend to, I kind of flick back and forward, where is this in the context of what's being said? And realizing again that chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, the chapter before this, starts with that famous passage of the Beatitudes, the blessings of God. Blessed are you. And Jesus is giving this at a time where he's almost putting that alongside the commandments of the things that one should do, those things that to some people have become about condemnation, and when actually they were about freedom for God's people to live. And he's saying, blessed are you, because he's come to bring his grace and his connection and his forgiveness and his love. So now, blessed are you, says Jesus, because that's his message of hope. That's his message of love. So live as salt and light, which is the next bit, he says. So you be filled, you are the fulfillment of God's law. Live as godly people, like in the commandments. And don't hate your enemies. Love your enemies. This is Jesus' message of hope. This is the good news. What I really like is then you go on to chapter 6, which is where they find the passage that we read today. And I feel at the beginning of the reading, Martin said it, therefore. Remember, when a reading starts with therefore, there was something before it that it's being referred to. And many of the things in this chapter 6 are therefore, because God has come to bless you, because you are forgiven, because God loves you, therefore, give to those who have need. Pray for others humbly. Please, I'd encourage you to read the whole of chapter 6 and read where it says these things. Give to those who have need. Pray for others humbly. Build your treasure in heaven rather than on earth. And do not worry, like the birds of the air and the grass. The birds of the air have no care. They know who they are. They are birds. They fly. They seem to be free of all that condemnation and difficulty. You are free people who are loved. God thanks you. God loves you. And we respond to him. So, oh, there you go. I had some pictures. This is why I don't do PowerPoints, because I forget about them. That's my picture of generosity. I love that picture of generosity. Be thankful for each other. And this bird, can somebody tell me who this bird is? What bird is this? Sorry?
Yellow hammer.
A yellow hammer. There we go. Well done. You see, I knew somebody would know. This is where you need good people. I'm like terrible at remembering pictures. It's very pretty. I found a picture of it on the internet. Really pretty picture. One thing about birds. Birds know who they are. And that's where they are free. Do you know who you are? Do you know that you are free? Now, there is things and there is difficulties that come along in our life. There is hurt and there is pain and there is things that will set us back. I acknowledge and understand that. God is there to help us and to carry us through those times. But ultimately, we have a hope and a future in Christ, despite the troubles of this day and the troubles that we might come across. Regardless of those, God is with us because we ultimately have a treasure in heaven. And this passage helping to remind us that we are blessed. Therefore, be like the birds who don't worry about the things of today, because God has given you an amazing future. On that theme of thankfulness and with harvest planned for a while, we remember at churches you used to have those things called a plate that used to get handed around. Yeah. And when we got kind of clever things with bank accounts where money would go in, you know, with electronically, we thought, well, we'll get rid of those plates. And that, look, I don't want anybody to feel guilty or, you know, and sometimes can be that, you know, you walk around and somebody gives you the plate and I've only got 3 pence, and I feel a bit bad because I'm putting 3 pence into a collection plate. Please don't ever feel worried about what you put in a collection plate. But I want to introduce our collection, not because I want lots of people to put £50 notes in there, although you are welcome to. The treasurer will be quite happy. Yeah, not because of that, but because I want us to remember that God has provided for us. And I want to remember that good people here give. And we are thankful for that. Good people here give. So rather than, let's just say, if you're somebody that puts money in through a bank account, we've made some little cards. There you go, that says my gift on. And as we share the collection, I want you to pray as you put one of these cards in. To say, you know, to that prayer of this is the gift that I've given. And it might have gone electronically, but I want you to remember that gift each time. This is your prayer. This is what I'm giving to God's work each time. If there's, you're somebody that is in the pew and would like to give more or hasn't given before, there's a QR code on the back as well. And there's an opportunity that people can tell us. Because sometimes there's people come to church for ages and then they don't know how to give. Well, send us your number and we'll contact you. We'll explain to you. We'll give you a pack, which these are also at the back for us today, for us to think about. A pack on our church giving explains why we do giving, explains a little bit. There you go, there's our gift card. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. You're remembering the things that I forget. I appreciate. That's why you give me this each time and I'm completely useless. And I just carry on talking and forget what's behind me. Yeah, so this is our church giving. This is the generous people that gives. And this tells us a little bit about what giving has been given into church. And this one, no, not that one. There you go. Our church choice. Yeah, so in the new year, we will ask people to think about their giving for the next year of what they give. And there's some certain amounts that we have prayed about and that we are hopeful that God will give us this year so that we can continue this ministry and continue to grow this ministry. We are thankful for all the gifts that people give. We are thankful at this harvest time for what God has provided for us. And this is our forecast for the next year. That Andy did a very good bar chart, which was better than my chart, because he knows how to do these things. Yeah, we are blessed. And when I came to this church a year ago, when I looked at the parish profile of this church before I came, there was an awful lot of question marks of what is God going to do here. Yeah, what's God going to do with the building? What are we going to do with the building? That money is a little bit uncomfortable. That the amount of people coming, we're not too sure where things are going. I am blessed that a year on, our giving is going well. Our buildings are secure. And more people are coming to Jesus to know him. That's amazing. Another thing I found out this week. Yeah, you know, for years and years, we're talking about the Church of England shrinking. Stop. It's not. For the last 3 years, the Church of England has grown in numbers. More people are coming to know Jesus. For 3 years consecutively, more people are coming to know Jesus. Isn't that good? Yes. We want to celebrate that. We want to be thankful for that. And we want to be thankful and we want to celebrate in this church. So this faith gap is a little bit of money that we would need over this year. Now, we do have some reserves, which is amazing because good and faithful people have given time in the past. And we can cover that. So we are confident this year that we can go on ahead in that sense, but that's our gap, and we want to pray about that. Now, Andy said, he's good at figures, he sat down there with his calculator and worked out if everybody at church, on average, some people earn more, some people earn less, some people are able to give more, some people are only able to give less, and please never give more than you are able. He said, on average, it's probably about £100 per person per month. And if £100 per person per month was given, we would cover this, absolutely. And I know there's some people that give significantly more than that, and bless them for doing that. The better faith target, I worked out, if we had 20 more people came to know and love Jesus and gave. I mean, look, if we had both of those, we would do other things. But if 20 more people came to know and love Jesus and this church grew, we would fill that gap. And that's really what we want to see. So my message today is, do not worry. God is good. God has provided for us. God has turned things around in this parish. He is turning things around in the Church of England. He is drawing people to him. He has been good to us. There's lots of things they've been thankful for. I'm even thankful in St. Luke's. Kay asked what things are we thankful for. I said, I'm thankful that Liverpool won 1-0 yesterday, and we're now top of the league. That's one thing. There's possibly more important things. Possibly. We are thankful.